and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
All right. How's everybody doing? See those smiling faces? Yeah. All right. Well, the sun is coming today at about 2. And my, I really don't know if she could ever live in Portland, wife is happy about that. let it, got some amens on that, right? Back in the 90s, we did it. I need to not tell. Let's go to the sermon. Oh, man, I love worshiping. I love being together with you guys. I love our church family, and what a privilege. I love that new song. I've never sung that song before, the Abide thing. I was like, I leaned over to Kim. I was like, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to do that. That's what I want to do, for real. Well, we're finishing up Philemon today. This is our fourth week on Philemon, and there's been some great feedback. Some of us, it's our first time to spend 4 weeks in Philemon. If that's you, raise your hand, you know. I can't imagine just a lot of us having had that opportunity on a Sunday series, so praise the Lord. But we're wrapping this thing up, and this idea is what we've been looking at the whole time for the series, that God's calling us to read Philemon and think deeply. Like, think about what does it mean for us to be resurrection family? On the other side of Easter, we've been made brothers and sisters in Christ together. What's it mean to be resurrection family together, and how do we love one another and treat one another and do all of that stuff? And so, quick review. Week one, we talked about family life, sharing the life of Christ together, reconciliation on the ground, loving people who are different from us, the difference with an ENTS, difference, ethnicities, economic situations, education situations, or even mode. We smiled a little bit on modes of education. Some of us did. Living in the aftermath of slavery, Jim Crow, and civil rights here in America anyway, living in the aftermath or the continued struggle for women's value in culture, doing that together as a church. And we talked about political ideologies over the family of God. Family of God, you know. And we talked about real practical forgiveness. Week two, we drilled down even more, went kind of verse by verse in week two, and talked about what did it mean then and what might it mean now. And some of the things we came up with were changes in the way we relate to one another, that we understand what we have together. It's a together thing. You only know the fullness together, the riches and fullness together, the will of God in fullness together, not by ourselves. Reframing hope for all relationships in Christ. There's hope for everybody. Just broken, told some stories of broken family relationships. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ, right? That's what we were talking about that week. Reframing the practice of hospitality and forgiveness. I had some practical expressions of hospitality coming my way. It was good, you know, it's really good. Last week, Dr. Jim Reynolds, our dear brother, brought the word on business as kingdom mission. Jim took us further into living out and how important Philemon's been to him in living out life as a lawyer pastor or a pastor lawyer. Which one goes first? Probably depends on the context, right? So really good stuff. I encourage you, listen to that message. For sure, that one. You don't have to listen to mine, but listen to that one. It's so good. I was just super encouraged by Jim. And today we're talking about how to read the Bible. Okay? So we've been talking about Philemon. We're going to talk about how to read Philemon. But you've been seeing it enacted. We've been living out. We've been preaching how to read the Bible as we talk about Philemon and its relevance for us right now today as a community of God's people together under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's really important. We're living in a world right now where we are increasingly, just our attention is the battleground, right? It's our minds. We live in a scrolling culture. I heard the other day about a school that has 20-minute breaks where the students put down their phones and read something. Just read, I don't think it's like necessarily the Bible, but just read a book for 20 straight minutes. Is that unheard of or what? You know, that's just great. I love it. And so what we're going to do here is I want us to zoom out a little bit and talk about the Bible and then, you know, how to read it and how not to read it, and then zoom into Philemon, one final reading, and say, how is the gospel revealed in Philemon? How do we see the gospel revealed in Philemon? And ultimately, I want us to be able to say, how's the gospel revealed in us? We want to be gospel, look like Jesus. We want to be, people come in and be able to go, I see Jesus here. I see the gospel being lived out, the good news of Jesus Christ being lived out. So, let's look at this. How to read the Bible, first of all. The Bible, not going to go super macro hermeneutics on us today. That's the technical word for how to interpret the Bible, hermeneutics. But the Bible's a library. It's a good way to think. It's think of this book as a library of books written by 40 authors over like 1,000-plus years. Could be up to 1,600 years. So over a long period of time. But as our friends over at the Bible Project, Tim and John, tell us, and their purpose, their mission of the Bible Project, which I commend to you. If you're studying the Bible, you want to know how to read the Bible, that's a great resource. They are doing just an invaluable blessing to the body of Christ in the things that they're doing. It's just great stuff. I just watched the Philemon one. I don't know why I hadn't watched the Philemon one. I should have watched it earlier. It was really good. Got one other fresh idea for this message. But their mission is to help people experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. And that's a pretty good way of talking about, saying this is a unified story that leads to Jesus. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's declared with power to be the true King and Lord of the world, and he is the key to understanding God and the story, so we look through the lens of Jesus in order to interpret this. And I kind of said some of the points then I'm wanting to say here, but a few keys in reading the Bible. And the deal is, we need the right glasses. We need the right glasses. Now, just putting on sunglasses inside kind of dims things up. I can't see you guys as well, but imagine though, now not only do I have sunglasses, stop laughing. Not only do I have sunglasses on, but imagine that these sunglasses are prescription glasses. Super thick and not made for me. So now I'm trying to read the Bible and it's blurry, and it already is blurry because of my eyes. But it's blurry, it's tinted, I can't see, and what I need is not my own way of looking at the Bible. I need the Jesus way of looking at the Bible. Right? I need my Jesus glasses on in order to that look through the lens of Jesus and the story of God. That's going to really, when I understand that, that way I don't get tripped up when somebody comes at me with some rando verse out of the Bible and does a meme and mocks the Bible, right? And they're like, oh no, what am I going to do now? I should walk away from the faith. No. I've got Jesus glasses on. I understand the whole story. I understand that whatever that verse was, there's probably some kind of context where somebody was lamenting or crying out, or it was out of pain and brokenness that a statement was made that is not the heart of Jesus. That's why we need the heart of Jesus, right? In order to understand the Bible. So we're looking through the lens of Jesus. That's the first point I want to make here. Jesus is the foundation. He is the truth. Okay, so Jesus is the foundation. He's the truth. And just, if I can say it this way, when we get away from Jesus, who's the foundation, and if we say, yeah, but, then we kind of make ourselves the foundation. Like, he's actually the truth. And so disconnected from him, even if I'm trying to make philosophical statements about God, I may end up painting God out of my own pain and brokenness and hurts and wounds. And God doesn't look like Jesus. He ends up looking like me, right? Does that make sense? So it's really, really important that we look through the lens of Jesus. And it's not just me saying that. Jesus is saying that over and over and over. John 5:39, you diligently study the scriptures and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I'm what the scriptures are about. He rises from the dead. We did this a couple weeks ago, I think on Easter maybe. He rises from the dead and he proclaims to the disciples on the road to Emmaus all the things that are in the scriptures about him. Right? So he's the key. He's how you understand. And then those guys are running back to the scriptures to understand them in the light and through the lens of Jesus Christ. So Jesus would say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So we look through the lens of Jesus to understand the scriptures. He said in the Sermon on the Mount over and over, you've heard it said in the scriptures, but I say to you, authoritative. We must look to Jesus and not interpret the Bible in a way that goes against the Spirit of Christ. And that's going to help us through a lot of stuff. Jesus is the mystery of God revealed, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know God? Look to Jesus. Want to understand the scriptures? Look to Jesus. And in the power of the Spirit, he's going to make those things from him known to us. Praise the Lord. So look through the lens of Jesus, who reveals the triune God. So when you're looking to Jesus, you're going to see something about God there, that God is primarily and foundationally and ontologically persons in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy. This is the revelation of Jesus. He is the definitive revelation, the self-revealing of God. And what we see is Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Always the Son of always the Father in their shared love and communion in the Holy Spirit. So I'm just trying to give a theological framework for reading the Bible. Look through the lens of Jesus, who reveals the relational God. Okay, that's going to help us interpret. Who is also the God of love. He's the God of love. Before creation, anything exists, God is loving. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus says this clearly. Father, I want them to see my glory because you loved me before the creation of the world. I want them in on that. That love, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, love relationship. So through the lens of Jesus, who reveals the triune God, who is the God of love and the God of story. So God is working through people in history and time and making promises and making covenants with people and being faithful to those covenants and promises over time. He's a God of story, and he wants us to rightly read this. We need to understand that it's a story. Even now, 2024, we're not just making this up. We've hopped on a moving train that's been going for a long time. Right? And so we interpret the Bible in the light of the church that's gone before us, in the light of Jesus and the history that's there before us. The God of love hopped on a moving train, got out of breath, who comes to redeem. So this story is about redemption and reconciliation and restoration and God making all things right. He's renewing all things. And that is the gospel, that Jesus is the Christ, the incarnate, sanctified life offered to the Father, crucified, resurrected King who's returning. He's coming again. He's ascended and he's returning again. He's poured out his Spirit so that this reality can be actualized in our own lives. It can be made real in an experience that we walk in and share as we love one another, as we are on mission together, this multi-generational family on mission together. A couple weeks ago, as we finished the Colossians series, I thought Graydon did a great job on that last message, and he brought up these four keys to interpreting. I want to throw these up by way of review again. Discernment. So, you know, we need help from the Holy Spirit to read the Bible. That's just a great prayer. Holy Spirit, help me as I'm reading the Bible. Help me to discern this. Help me to see what it is you're actually saying. And we need the full range of Scripture as well. It's not just isolated, cherry-picking verses, but what's the whole story? And when there's tension between two different verses, can you think of some tension places? Yes, there are tension places. But in the heart and mind of God, as we get closer to His understanding, I think there's going to be more and more harmony there. Things that used to bother me, they bother me way less because of Jesus. He's got us. You know, we say by grace or works. He's got us. work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But He's got us, and His love's never going to let us go. So, praise the Lord. I could go on with other illustrations of that, but we need the full range of Scripture. We need discernment. We need to understand that there is a tension between the ideal and the real. What God's best is, it's kind of like the not yet and the now. You know, we live in the now and the not yet, and there's tension there. Like, well, it ought to be this way, but we can't just say that idealistically and not acknowledge where we're actually at. Like, this is a mess. This is a mess right here, and we've got to take some steps from where we're at to seeing things being made right in the world around us. So there's tension there. And then finally, Graydon's final thing there was, when are we? And that's a kind of a point from James K.A. Smith. But the idea is that different times call for different responses. Like, and the Holy Spirit leads us in how to respond in 2024, maybe that's different than 1883 or 1640, or just, you get the point. What is the Lord doing right now? What is love doing right now? What's love look like being expressed right now? What's the way of Jesus look like in this situation or that situation? So there we go. There's a bit on how to read the Bible. So let's talk now a little bit about how not to read the Bible. Anybody have some thoughts on that one? That's kind of a nod to, I just listened to a podcast this week by that title on the Bible Project, and they interviewed a guy named Dan Kimball, and that's the title. He's got a book, How Not to Read the Bible, and the subtitle is interesting as well, Making Sense of the Anti-Women, Anti-Science, Pro-Violence, Pro-Slavery, and Other Crazy-Sounding Parts of Scripture. I thought that was pretty good. Like, you could take an isolated scripture and make it into something that's not the will of God. Make sense? And that's why Jesus, it trumps all of our interpretations of scriptures that might make us, you know, one of those things that he's talking about there. Everybody okay? Okay, so the Bible is God-breathed. That's Bible language for what the scriptures describe about themselves. God-breathed and authoritative. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So it's the heart of God. It's useful for us in pointing us to Jesus, but also in how to live. How to live life. How do we do life? How do we work this out? It's the written word that points to the living word. Right? Okay, so these are written words by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that point to the living word. And there's only one living word, and that is Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus. We don't worship the Bible. Right? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Spirit. Depending on your tradition, growing up, you might have heard that the Bible was the third person or something, some kind of equivalent like that, because there wasn't a Holy Spirit. or he wasn't active. And maybe that didn't connect with anybody here. It was a little bit of some of my experience, maybe, growing up. All things are created through Jesus, not the Bible. And so, again, a unified story that points to Jesus. The Bible, this is from the Bible Project yet once again here. The Bible is not a theological dictionary that we just kind of go and we've got all the topics here at the top. I want to see something about the omniscience of God. It doesn't work like that. Okay, so it's not a theological dictionary, and you can get in trouble if you're just trying to mine the theological bits but don't hold on to the story. Make sense? Okay, the Bible is not a moral handbook. Although we learn morals here, it's not just like that either, where we just kind of go and pick these kind of things. We need to understand Jesus and his way and how he fulfills the story and the covenants and the people of God, this one multi-ethnic people that he's made us to be together, and not just mining the moral bits. And then finally, the Bible is not a devotional grab bag. And I think this one is particularly relevant for our culture, you know, because, you know, just if it's really just about me, you know, then I'm looking for that, you know, just give me, Lord, give me a good one here. That's like a page. you know what I mean, right? Just when it's about us, and I just give me that refrigerator verse, the little bit of encouragement for today. And the point is, we can read the Bible in a way where we're not thinking about Jesus, and kind of move away from that ground of he's the foundation, and get off and start again. Like I said, we can start painting God in a way that doesn't look like Jesus, or we can think that we're describing God kind of behind the back of Jesus. And we say this relentlessly, but God, there's no un-Christ-likeness in God. So God's definitive revelation of himself is Jesus Christ. He is the image. He is the glory. He's the outshining. He's holding us together. So we have to, you know, hold on to Jesus as actually he's holding on to us. More like think a toddler and he's got me. You know, and I stumble sometimes and I spin around, but he's still got me. He's still got me. So that's how we're looking at this. We were brainstorming, because if we don't hold on to Jesus, we can end up making an idol out of our view of God. And just my way, my image, something different from Jesus. So we were brainstorming in our sermon planning time this past week, and so, okay, so what are some of the things that we just want to emphasize? And I've already said it in a different way, but start with Jesus, start with the Gospels, and then practice taking steps doing what Jesus says. Sermon on the Mount is, it's like all I did this week is listen to Bible Project. I feel like that. But I did listen to the story. I was mowing yesterday, and I've got this electric mower, so it's real quiet, and I can hear the podcast or whatever. And I was mowing, and I was listening. They were talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Those words, whether you go to church or don't go to church, those words have changed the world, even just in the last 100 years. Dietrich Bonhoeffer with the Nazis, Gandhi. They were saying Gandhi read the Sermon on the Mount 2 times a day for the last 40 years of his life. That's hey. Come on. You know, but Gandhi influenced Martin Luther King Jr. Kept a picture of Gandhi over their dinner table, you know, and of course Martin Luther King loved Jesus. But just like right there alone, India, civil rights movement, the Nazis and Bonhoeffer, just, Lord, have your way in us. What are you wanting to do? So start with Jesus, start with the Gospels, practice taking next steps, see people, give, forgive, serve. A fourth one, look for union with Christ, abiding, cultivating this lifestyle. That's why I love that song. That's the point, is the trajectory of the gospel is union. It's abiding. It's being included in the circle of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit love. And so look for union as you're reading the Bible. And then expand to reading the letters in the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus. And we talked also, too, about praying the scriptures. You know, like, there's just something that happens when you say, Lord, and you just start praying as you're reading. You know, just, Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, amen. And then read it again. Do Lectio Divina and say, what's sticking out this time as I read that verse? And what's sticking out this time is, what's the Lord have for me for today? So devotionally reading the scriptures in a way that where we're engaging our hearts and not just reading words on a page. Prayerfully read. So, yeah. And then, you know, I think some of the apps that are out there right now, this is just real practical, throw those up. This is not a exhaustive list, but the Bible app, everybody needs a Bible app. Just there's a time when you need the Bible app. Just you're someplace and don't have your Bible, you need the Bible app. And they're doing a good job. These Lectio 365, the Bible Project, Praise You Go, some of these different apps, they're doing a good job of introducing the broader body of Christ to some of the, like, the Catholic mystic tradition of Lectio 365 or Ignatian prayer, where we imagine ourselves in the story, in the Gospels. You're there. You're one of the characters. And I mean, that's been going on since the 1500s, but not across the body of Christ like it is now. We're being introduced through you know, some of these broad ways of praying. Do you remember what was so good in your own experience about meeting Jesus? What was good when you met Jesus? I could just start over here. What was so good about that? So I really want, just let's engage for a second. When you met Jesus or met him in a fresh way, relationship, to love others, experiencing his grace, forgiveness, maybe freedom out of bondage. You're just in a pit, man. Just, how do I get out of here? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Somebody else shout out one.
Freedom.
Wisdom. Yeah. Go ahead. Fresh something.
Shepherd finding the lost.
Yeah, shepherd being found. Joy. Yeah.
Reality,
truth, reality. He is reality. Yeah. So it's good for us to remember why it was such good news. That the gospel is good news. It's not just some facts, I believe, but it's good news. So we're at Philemon and need to wrap up here pretty quick. But let's stand up together and let's read it and ask that question. How does Philemon reveal the good news about Jesus? Okay? How does Philemon reveal the good news about Jesus? Lord, open our eyes that we might see the good news, the gospel, in what has happened in this letter. So, Lord, make us aware right now. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So let me pause right there. Like, he's a prisoner. That's a result of the gospel, right? That's the gospel at work. He loves Jesus so much that he's not going to stop proclaiming, even if he has to go to jail. That's the gospel in Philemon. To Philemon, our dear brother and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, the gospel. That's an effect of the gospel, is that these people are now together. Grace and peace to you. That's the gospel. From God, our Father, we know this now, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to your name, O God. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective for deepening your understanding of everything good that we share for the sake of Christ. I mean, it's just loaded, right? Once you start putting on this Jesus gospel lens, it's you can't read it without seeing it. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold in order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love, whole new way of living life. It's none other than Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for the sake for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, and now he's become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart. This is gospel, good news, Jesus language. I'm sending my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, and even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. It's reinterpreting life. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he's done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, and confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings, and so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And we say, Lord, thanks for these words. Thanks be to God. Amen. Have a seat. Wow. So we're see the gospel there in Philemon. You know, one of the fresh things that hit me yesterday was, like, Paul was, you know, he said in Colossians, I store up in my body what's still lacking in regard to the church for people to see the cross. And he's literally displaying the cross of Jesus Christ in writing to Philemon. He's saying he's absorbing what Jesus does for us. He absorbs all of the pain, the brokenness, the sin. Jesus absorbs it. Paul is now enacting that and absorbing on behalf of Onesimus and Philemon and bringing them together. Does that make sense? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. He's doing that. There's joy, there's peace, there's the church life, there's coming together, there's multi-generations coming together as family, brothers and sisters together because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Philemon is a huge reminder of what the New Testament is supposed to do on the ground in our lives. It's supposed to change us. Supposed to bring us into right relationship with one another. What does it mean for Jesus to be the absolute center of our lives? Economically, relationally, socially, education, all the different spheres, ways that we're walking, legally, living out our lives together as people in Fort Worth, Texas, and beyond. You know, I wonder, so here's another quick imagine. Philemon hears this letter, and then what if he comes back, let's say 5 years later, to this letter and reads it again? Has he changed? You know? And so maybe you read Philemon 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 40 years ago. It depends on how old you are. Have you changed? Have I changed? Is this changing me? Is this changing us? I think it is. You know, I'm seeing things I haven't seen. I want to respond in ways that I haven't responded. And I think it's happening. And I had them write this question down just a few minutes ago. How does Antioch Fort Worth then? So we're changing. We're changing. We're growing into the image of Christ together. And so how does Antioch Fort Worth? We've been looking at Philemon. How does Philemon reveal the good news? How does this people on the ground, this community called Antioch Fort Worth, reveal the gospel, the good news about Jesus? How do we reveal Jesus to and through one another? It's a great question. And the Holy Spirit is helping us, literally. Like, we didn't do this. We didn't come up with this. It's not just us, you know, if we can just work hard enough, Jesus is going to get revealed here. The Holy Spirit is leading us, empowering us, stirring us. In the 4th century, Gregory of Nyssa, one of the Cappadocian church fathers — I'm a super big fan of the Cappadocians because of the relational Trinitarian stuff. It's more than you asked for. I got this powerful word. I got to just share this one story. Over at Convergence, where our staffs were together, and this girl walks in the room, and she says, and Claire was there, and Dakota was there, and this was that little hope room. They had a lot of different stations for us to go to, and it was in the hope place. She goes, the minute you walked in the room, I just heard Gregory, and it was strong, it was clear. It's like, do you have an uncle named Gregory or something, or you're related to somebody named Gregory? And I said, I love the Gregories. I quickly pulled up an icon of the three Cappadocian fathers, Gregory of Nyssa, Gregory Nazianzus, and Basil the Great. And she just, Claire and Dakota over there laughing, and the girl's going, Gregory Nyssa's story. One of the first church fathers to free his slaves. Just said, this is not right. Humans shouldn't own other humans. And made a call for slavery to be abolished. He was one of the first ones to see the implications of it. Philemon is like that for us. Lord, would you stir our hearts with hunger to know you and to see you and to relate to you and to see you revealed in the scriptures, and Lord, to live it out in the church life here, for us to be truly be a light, salt in this city, Lord, that where we're being changed, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Would you shape us, mold us, change us, transform us, pour out your grace on us in a way that we can experience for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Stand up. We're going to just take just a few moments to respond here this morning. And the team's coming up. And if I go ahead and get some prayer team guys, come on. And I'll just say this. If you came in with a prayer need — I've almost started always leading with this. If you came in with a prayer need, please get prayer. Just pray with some men. Share the burden and get prayer. Somebody just let me know they were praying for me for just anxiety stuff. I need prayer, you know. If you got that going on, get prayer. And maybe the Holy Spirit is wooing you in some fresh way this morning about reading the scriptures, about reading the Bible. Then let's respond to that. And maybe you're seeing change in Philemon that is stirring you about change that's needed in your own heart. Again, whatever your need is, let's just press in here for a minute. Father, we need you. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing in us as we read the Bible together. Praise be to your name. Come, Holy Spirit, help us. Just release ministry, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.